thanking all of our musicians today for their amazing gifts to us. And I'm grateful for Tom up there and for Colleen, who's translating for us, and Abba, who's running the screen, and for Luther and Lisa. Marcial is in North Dakota today, our minister of music, looking for some oil up there. Whatever it takes to increase the church's fortunes, you know. But we've been in such good hands here today, and mostly just in the hands of Jesus. That's what's been going on. So, amen? Amen. If you've had a chance to be with us in recent weeks, you know that we're in the midst of looking over the summer at ways that God intends for us to be rooted in our discipleship, in our following of Christ. And in the last few weeks, we've been talking about what it means to grow up into that intimate relationship with God. And this morning, we kind of turn our attention now to what it means to grow in, to grow into a deeper level of community, one with another, that in turn we might grow out. And so all of this gathered around our mission here at Park Avenue to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, of the whole wide world. So I invite you this morning to turn with me to our scripture reading, which comes to us from the book of Acts. And this morning we're gathering around the second chapter of Acts. I'll give you a moment to find that. Some of you in the Bible in the pew in front of you, others on your phones, and others of you just from your memory bank, those of you who have memorized the entire Bible, you know who you are. Acts chapter 2. Word, you got? Can I hear a little bit? Are you ready for this? There we go. Acts chapter 2, beginning with the verse numbered 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. May God bless the reading of God's word, and would you pray with me? And now, Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are indeed my rock and my redeemer. Amen. A colleague was telling me about a gift he received for Christmas one year, a gift certificate for a massage, told of how instantaneously uncomfortable he became at the thought of having to redeem the gift. Had never had a massage before, and so all these apprehensions. In fact, every time he pulled open the drawer in his office where the coupon was, he would manage to come up with some excuse why he couldn't make the call and the appointment. Finally, the deal was about to expire, and so summoning all of his courage, he picked up the phone and made the appointment, and then immediately began to dread what he had done. All these questions flooding his mind. Do you come early or just show up right on time for a massage? Do you request a male or a female masseur or masseuse? And does that choice say anything about you? That one can make you squirm just a little bit. What are you supposed to wear to a massage? Are there changing rooms or is it just a come-as-you-are deal? Do you bring a tip? And if you do, what do you do with your tip while you're receiving your massage? So many questions. And having told of that awkward dilemma, he began to make a connection between the anxiety he felt in approaching a brand new, completely foreign experience and the anxiety many people face walking through the doors of a church for the very first time or for the first time in a very long time. Do you show up early or fashionably late for church? Well, here at Park Avenue, you know. What do people wear? Will I be asked to say anything, to do anything? How long will it last? Am I expected to bring a tip? And if so, how much do I tip? And by the way, just so you know, here at Park Avenue, we have a kind of unwritten no-tipping policy. Those of you who may be visiting or are new to our church are not expected to give. If you already did, well, it's a little late. You know, you won't be getting it back. But next time, you know, for those of us who have chosen to make this faith community, our faith community, part of that choice is to share in the financial responsibilities of what goes on here. But it is not a tip for good service. That's not why we give. Just thought I'd toss that one in this morning. So many questions about how to do church right. So many things those in the know take for granted. Well, we've come today to a book of the Bible, the book of Acts, that tells the story of the Church of Jesus Christ in its infancy. That time when everything was brand new, when so little could be assumed or taken for granted. It's the story of the followers of Jesus having just lived through his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, having watched him ascend up into heaven with the promise that he'd be back someday, having had their lives so profoundly changed, now faced with the what next question. Here were people from all walks of life, men and women, young and old, wealthy and poor, Jew and Gentile, all these people who had this one thing in common, the fact that Jesus had changed their lives forever. And now that he was gone, their task was to take his message to people who had never heard it before, people for whom it was completely unfamiliar, people with whom nothing could be assumed or taken for granted. And this morning we come to a part of that story so essential to an understanding of what it means to be a church. Verses, in fact, that we at Park Avenue have chosen to best articulate what we understand our mission to be, Acts 2, 42 to 47. John Stott, the British writer and theologian, has a definition of the church that I so love. He says, the church differs from a club in that while a club exists for its members, the church exists for those who are not yet members. And I love that definition. And the book of Acts, especially here at the end of the second chapter, gives us this amazing picture of what it is to live out that high calling, to be a place that exists for those who ain't here yet. What does it mean, practically speaking, to take the doors off of this place? This place we call Park Avenue, an open ministry up to people in this community and beyond. That is the question. And I've come to believe that God's answer to that question is the two-part answer. There are two parts to the recipe. One part attitude and the other part action. In other words, becoming the church that God intends us to be involves both how we think and what we do to live out that thinking and conviction. Reminds me of a story that has always moved me, one about the great Argentine golfer Robert DiVincenzo, who once won a golf tournament, and after smiling for the cameras and being presented with his winner's check, walked out into the parking lot of the golf club, where he was approached by a young woman who proceeded to tell him that her baby was seriously ill, near death, in fact. She had no idea of how she was going to pay the medical bills the hospital expenses. Well, so touched by her story was Mr. DiVincenzo that he took out a pen and on the spot endorsed his winning check as a gift to the woman. "Make some good days for your baby," he said as he pressed the money into her hand. The next week, he happened to be having lunch at a nearby country club when one of the tournament officials from the previous week came up to his table and said, "I understand you met a young woman after the tournament last week." "That's right," he said. "Well, I have some bad news for you," the official said. "That woman happens to be a scam artist. There's no sick baby. You were fleeced." "You mean there's no dying baby?" DiVincenzo asked. "That's right," the official said. To which Mr. DiVincenzo replied with a sincere heart, "That's the best news I have ever heard." And that moment leaves me to wonder, what does it take for us to have an attitude about material things so grounded that we never allow money to come between us and another human being? Where does it come from, that kind of freedom? You see, I don't know if you caught an attitude at work when we read those words from Acts a moment ago, but I hear an infectious enthusiasm in the shared life of that community. It was true of their worship. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to being together, to sharing in the Lord's table, to prayer, and awe came upon everyone, it says in verse 43. It was true of their community life. It says they held all things in common. If somebody had a material or physical need, those who had property or possessions were willing to sell what they had to alleviate their sister or their brother's needs. This was a radically committed group of people, one to another. It was true of their home life. Verse 46 says they ate together with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. In other words, they enjoyed a positive reputation in their community. People noticed. And that attitude, unity, sincerity, gladness, determined their actions, their sacrificial love toward one another, a love that then spilled out beyond the walls of their church to the people who were not yet a part of things. It was astonishing. Which begs the question, doesn't it? What do you suppose would have happened if the attitude of those early believers had been one of disharmony, of disunity, of selfishness, of leader bashing? Who do those apostles think they are, telling me what's right? You call that a sermon? You expect me to sing that kind of music? They're serving fish again? Do you really think people would have jumped at the chance to be part of a community like that? Me neither. Not then, not now. No, to capture the heart of the community, to see people catch a glimpse of Jesus and the difference he makes in the world requires the same gladness of heart, the same oneness, the same generosity that caused the early church to be so attractive, so irresistible. It means we need to be compassionate, forgiving people, people who respect and listen to the ideas and suggestions of others, people who serve Jesus together in harmony and in love. It doesn't mean we always have to agree with one another. Thank God for that. But it means being ever so careful in our criticism of one another, making sure we have all the facts, talking to one another directly rather than behind somebody's back. We're to strive to build one another up through prayer, through words of encouragement, remembering to express appreciation for someone who uses their gifts in the church. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, to love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. For by this all people," meaning believers and non-believers alike, "know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." That's what I so love about the privilege I have been given of sharing life in this community of faith here at Park Avenue. It's not that we always get it right, but this is the church that has that kind of care for one another as its legacy. Yes, it does. A month ago, Julie and I moved to a townhome in Bloomington. It's a two-unit townhome. So the guy on the other side came over to introduce himself to me one day. John was, for many years, the chief of police here in the city of Minneapolis, and then had that position in Bloomington. And so I said, "Now, John, I know you've run a background check on me," which, of course, he had. I said, "I tried running one on you, but you got a whole lot more firewall going than I do." I said, "If we're going to get along, there's some things that you found out about me, you're just going to have to kind of keep in the rearview mirror here." And he laughed, but then he said, "Will, I need to tell you, in all of my years of working in Minneapolis, Park Avenue Church has been such a remarkable church." He said, "Always reaching out into this community and seeking to make a difference in the lives of people." "You have come to a great place," he said. And I thanked him, and I told him that I have come to know that to be true. And then I asked if there's anything he could do to get us a little grace in the snow emergency parking ticket thing. He's working on it. How we care for one another is where it starts. Amen? Gives us something to have to spill out beyond these walls. This past Wednesday, Stephen was talking about this at the beginning of our service. Some of us got in on such an encouraging experience led by our young people here at Park. About 40 of us gathered, met up at church to spend an hour walking and biking in this neighborhood, learned some of the history of this community, prayed for the businesses over on Chicago Avenue, prayed for kids who go to school over at Richard Green, prayed for the important work that's happening at the Sabathany Community Center, prayed for our neighbors who have landed here in this neighborhood from all over this planet. Prayed that God would help us to be a church that makes a difference in the lives of those we share a neighborhood with. It's part of our answer of what it means to take the doors off this place and to be the church that God intends us to be in word and deed, a place that exists for those not here yet. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, may we never weary of the privilege of doing that which you have called us to do. We believe with you today that being a part of the ministry of disciple making for the transformation of the world is both a high calling and privilege, calls for our very best selves, calls for our partnership one with another. And so I thank you on this weekend when we celebrate our nation's birthday, that we can be reminded that this country we've lived in and live in is so desperately in need of your healing and your grace. And may we be renewed in our commitment to serving you. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. invite you to turn with me in your hymnal to page 13.